Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Some people hold on to money until their knuckles turn white. It's only when realizing that we don't own anything that true financial freedom comes. We're only managers of God's wealth, and investing in His kingdom brings a return beyond imagination. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on investing for eternity. Turn with us to Luke chapter 16 as Erwin Lutzer comes again telling us to invest with your ROI in mind.
What Jesus is saying is that when you are invited to be entrusted with money, it is not yours, it is another's. And isn't that true? The minute we get our pay stub, we know that a lot of it is another's. Because we see on there, you know, federal income tax, state income tax, we see Social Security. Right from the get-go, a lot of it is another's. And then once it's put into the bank, it suddenly becomes another's, very obviously. It becomes the electric companies and the gas companies and the mortgage companies and the clothing stores and the grocery stores. Suddenly it belongs to another. But there's a much greater principle here, and that is that we must acknowledge the fact that even that which may or may not be left over after we've paid our bills, that also belongs to God, and our bank accounts belong to God, and our savings accounts, and the money that we have in the market and the money that we have out of the market, all of that is God's. This is the most fundamental principle of finance in all the scriptures. Now, it's easy for us to hurry over this point and say, all right, yeah, it all belongs to God. Now get on with point number two. I'm going to stay here just a little longer. Because, you see, when we really believe that it all is God's, we're not going to be as concerned about it, because we realize then that it is God's money that was devalued 40% late last year. That's God's money. It immediately takes a lot of weight from your shoulders. It is God's money that grows at an interest rate of 2% or that falls at an interest rate of 10. It is God's money. And once you acknowledge it to belong to God, you look at it differently. I believe that one of the reasons that there are many, and I speak very hesitantly here because it may not be universally applicable, but the reason that so many are going through terrible financial times are because, like this manager, some of us have been mismanaging God's money. And this is a parenthesis, but one way that we can do that is no longer asking God how we should spend our money, and no longer trusting God for what we need, but immediately bypassing all that by using the credit card. Used to be that when people needed clothes or a new refrigerator, they would pray and say, oh God, you know my needs. And maybe a neighbor had one, that a secondhand one, that they could use for a few years until they had enough money, and they would ask God. Today we don't ask God, because what we can do is to use those credit cards, and we can bypass dependence on God. Whether He's there for us or not, we can have what we want, and we mismanage God's money. Are you willing to say sincerely, what I have belongs to God? We can't go to the other principles until you've said that and meant it. Some of you are going to struggle. Some of you are going to argue about it. Are you willing to say it all is God's? Oh, you say, but I earned it. Or like the commercial says, I earned it. My friend, it is God who gives you the ability to beget wealth. It is all His. Would you bow with me right now in prayer before we go on to the next principle? And would you pray with me as we finally end the ownership of our money and recognize that it is God's? Father, you know how covetousness builds a nest in our hearts. Would you help us in this moment, whether we have little or much, nothing, whatever we may have, Father, it is yours. The money we gained, the money we lost, the money we earned, the money we inherited, we give it to you and pray, Father, that you will always help us to seek your face and your wisdom as to how it is to be used, and may we be faithful managers of your gifts. For those who struggle, for those for whom this prayer is just words, work in their lives until they can say, it is yours. Amen. Well, that's the first principle. Let's go on to a second. Money must be wisely transmuted. Wisely transmuted. What does that word transmute mean? It means to change the essence of something. You know, when a child is sick, you don't say, well, here, eat this $20 bill. Then you know for sure that you're on your way to the ER. What you do is you go to Walgreens and you buy some medicine. You transmute that $20 or $50 or $100 into medicine. There's a good example of what happens when you can't transmute wealth. True story. Up in the north, what was found a number of years ago is a hut. And in the hut, there were two miners who had been mining gold. And they starved to death. In fact, they wrote a diary and they said that we're starving because there's nothing around us. There's a snowstorm. We can't get out. We have no food. And there they were. Their bodies had, of course, deteriorated. But they were surrounded by gold. Now, isn't gold everything, the very thing that people want? Well, yes, but it could not be transmuted into something that they could use. That's what we mean. When you write that check to the electric company, when you buy that coat, when you buy shoes for your children, you are transmuting your wealth into something that is necessary in order to live, and it is a good transmutation. But notice the text. Jesus is talking about a different kind. We have to look back at it here. It says, he complimented the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. Verse 9, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth. He doesn't mean wealth that was gotten unrighteously. This is the way in which Jesus characterizes money. We'll see that Jesus has a very negative view of it, because remember, it always competes with God in our hearts. So he says, make wise use of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. What Jesus said is, what you should be doing is investing in such a way that you know that your rate of investment and your rate of return is going to be overwhelming. It is going to be people who will welcome you into heaven. So that when you die, there's a cheering section there thanking you for your investment in lives that are also there. What a statement Jesus made. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, thank you for the money that you sent me. And he said, I'm so glad that it does, because I desire fruit that abounds to your account. I love to use that story of the princess in Europe who had a crown. And she said to her husband, I want to sell the jewels of the crown to begin an orphanage. And he objected to it, but eventually she prevailed and she won the argument. So they sold the jewels, she built an orphanage, and when she came home one day and saw these children singing songs, and she was a fervent Christian, so the children were instructed in the ways of godliness, she came back and said to her husband, I have found my jewels. I found my jewels. I found my jewels in the lives of these children. Wise woman. You can't take jewels with you to heaven, but if you transmute them and you invest them in somebody's life, now there's something that enables your investment to get to the other side. You can take it with you, after all, if you transmute it into lasting wealth. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal? He was talking about the very same principle. Who is it that supported the ministry of a missionary like William Carey, for example, whom we honor as one of the first missionaries of the modern era? I don't know who gave him money to go to India. But I do know this, that somebody is going to be rewarded someday for an investment made in lives that will be there in heaven, thanking them for their investment and the shrewd use of their money with friends who've been impacted by their gifts. When the offering baskets are passed at Moody Church, what I like to think of it as, it's something like a mutual fund, investing in a mutual fund. Because you know that when you're giving, you're investing in children's ministries, in family ministries. You're investing in the lives of young people, singles, college students, professional people. You're investing in the lives of missionaries around the world. And in that sense, we are all committed together, and we are seeing lives changed, lives that will meet us in everlasting habitations. I'm sure that this is true of you too, but in addition to giving to Moody Church, Rebecca and I support missionaries, other missionaries as well. I'd like to think that when I get to heaven, there'd be at least one person who would rejoice and say, thank you for your gift and the impact that it had in my life. Talking about your return on investment, your ROI, you invest in eternity when you give to the transformation of lives.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. This whole business of money is surely sensitive, isn't it? In fact, some people who come to church think that all the church talks about is money. Well, I sure hope that your church doesn't always talk about money. Here at the Moody Church, from time to time, I do preach a series of messages on stewardship, on the disciplines of Christian living, the discipline of giving, because Jesus spoke about it a great deal. All that I'm asking of you is that you take the time to recognize that what you have belongs to God, and then ask Him the simple question, what will you have me to do with it? Now, we are living at a time of great financial need, so I'd like to suggest today that you take the time to look around you, see those who are in need, whether in your church or somewhere else, and be generous. Let's help one another during this time when so many people are unemployed, when so many people are finding it hard to pay their gas bills and their electric bills and their mortgages. Let us all work together so that we can get through this. I hope that you'll join us next time as I continue to speak on the topic of investing with your ROI in mind. What is a return on investment? I'll see you next time.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Invest with Your ROI in Mind. Another message on investing for eternity. Next time on Running to Win, join us for more on the lessons from this parable on how we should manage our money. All four messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.